there was so much anxiety, you know, psychologically, there was so much trauma that if I just could have relaxed a little bit before and just believed that it is something that you can get through, it would have, I think, helped a lot.
When you're weak, I'll be strong. When you let go, I'll hold on. And when you need to cry,
you can't get upset about little things anymore.
This needs to get out of my way because I have something to do.
Scared to death, like you can't take.
Live your life and have fun.
Together we can do it. I'm gonna love you through it.
There's always new things, which I learned a lot about new therapies coming out too, and it's always good to be informed.
Stories of surviving and thriving, plus interviews and inspiration. This is Breast Cancer 2013 with Dean Richards on 720 WGN.
And here we go, year 17 of our three-hour town hall meeting on where we are in the fight against breast cancer. It is unbelievable to me that we would still be doing this program, that the interest has been so great in this subject through the years, but here we go again for another round of bringing you the latest medical information on this subject that affects so many of you. 232,000 women annually are diagnosed with breast cancer. It is the second most common cancer for women, just behind skin cancer. And we are here for the next 3 hours to talk about the causes and the risks and prevention and every little side subject that we can possibly squeeze in over the next 3 hours. We are here to take your telephone calls about breast cancer and help to answer some questions that you may have if you have been diagnosed, if you've gone through the process, if you think you might be at risk, if family members, if friends have gone through it and you've had questions that you've always wanted to ask. This is the day to do it. Not only with the medical experts that we have will be joining us on the program today, but also with one of Chicago's newest support groups to help people who are dealing with the fight against breast cancer. You will hear some remarkable survivor stories today that are fascinating stories, and hopefully you will find as inspiring as I did when we learned about them. Also, you know, I wouldn't be true to my the entertainment reporter side of me if I didn't interject a little bit of that today. And I think it's most appropriate on a serious side, because one of the big entertainment stories that we reported this year was last May when Angelina Jolie disclosed that she had gone through voluntary double mastectomy. And since Angelina Jolie's disclosure about her procedure, her diagnosis, and the reason that she went through it, and the procedure that she went through, double mastectomy has gone through the roof. Certainly inquiries about double mastectomy has gone through the roof as a way of dealing with cancer. You get the diagnosis, and people heard about what Angelina Jolie went through, and they just, you know, go back to their doctors and say, cut them off, get rid of them. And sometimes that's appropriate, and sometimes that's not appropriate. And we'll talk about when it is and when it isn't today with our medical experts. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the program at 312-981-7200. As always, you can email your questions in to me at deanrichards@wgnradio.com. It might be easier for some of you to simply text your questions into us at 24720. And we'll get to as many phone calls, emails, and texts as possible today here on WGN with our medical experts that we'll start off with today. Dr. Catherine Pesch is a surgical oncologist at North Shore University Health System. She is a clinical assistant professor of medicine, University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine, and also the co-director of the Breast Center at North Shore Highland Park Hospital. Dr. Pesch, welcome. Nice to have you with us here.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
On our very first breast cancer show that we did 17 years ago, our first medical expert was the head of the Breast Center at Highland Park Hospital.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, so we go back. We're kind of going back to our roots a little bit today. Also joining us in studio is Dr. Mark Sisko, who is a doctor of plastic and reconstructive surgery at North Shore University Health System. And Dr. Sisko, welcome. Good to have you here with us.
Pleasure to be here.
As well. So the burden will be on both of you to handle all medical questions here today. It's good to have you with us. How would, how would you say we are doing in the fight against breast cancer in 2013? I notice in all these years that we've been doing this show that things have really changed a lot. I mean, it's a lot more hopeful than it was. And things seem, every year there seem to be some huge new things that I wish we could have had 17 years ago when we started, doing all of this.
Yeah, it's really true. Every time I meet a patient now diagnosed with breast cancer, one of the first things I talk about is, you're at a good time for this to be happening to you. You know, back 30, 40 years ago, when you had breast cancer, it meant you had to have a mastectomy. And it's just not the case anymore. You know, everything has become very minimally invasive, where you can do just a lumpectomy in most patients, meaning just taking out the portion of the breast with the breast cancer and still saving the breast. I think that's probably the greatest track that really we've come with treating breast cancer. It's just been great for women.
Yeah. Would you say that we are at a place now where we're seeing fewer people coming in with the possibility of breast cancer in the first place? Or are just, are the numbers where they've always been or higher, and we're just better at dealing with it once we know about it?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. You know, most, the numbers are going up, but I think they're going up because we're catching it so sooner. And most women are more aware of the fact that they need to get mammograms now. And so when we are catching it, it's very early in the disease process. And so therefore, they have a better outcome.
And Dr. Sisko, in your on your side of this, really the advances have been remarkable, haven't they? With what you've been able to do with women who have gone through this.
Well, there's no question that I think the fact that you have a plastic surgeon on the show is testament to some extent to the gains that have been made in breast cancer treatment over the last 17 years. I'm not sure if you had a plastic surgeon when you first started the show, but certainly treatment has gotten so much better. In terms of treating breast cancer, that the expectations now for managing sort of complications, issues with femininity, issues with appearance, have evolved as well with that. And certainly the bar has gotten a lot higher for taking care of these patients. But clearly we have a lot better ways of taking care of women with breast cancer than we did even 10 or 15 years ago with respect to doing things such as partial breast reconstruction. Implant technology has gotten better over the years. The way that my breast surgery colleagues are doing their mastectomies have evolved as well. And so all of these things have come together to get us to a point where we really can get excellent results regardless of what kind of surgery a woman chooses to have or regardless of what kind of surgery she needs to have.
Are we still basically talking about the same kinds of risks? The same, sort of factors of who might be most likely to get breast cancer as we were years ago?
We are. The actual risks of developing breast cancer haven't changed much. I will say the impact of family history is becoming more and more important in that a lot of women are more aware of the fact that they have breast cancer history in their family, but the same risks have pretty much stayed the same. We know it is overall related to your estrogen exposure throughout your lifetime. Obviously, an overall healthy lifestyle, decreases your risk in that we think, a healthy diet, low-fat diet is always a good thing to decrease your risk. And then also, the importance of knowing your family history, the number of first-degree relatives that you might have in your family with a breast cancer diagnosis, and how old they were when they were diagnosed, meaning you're at higher risk if your family members were diagnosed at a younger age.
I want to talk a little about the family history aspect of that a little bit. Has that changed at all? Because women are living healthier lifestyles now. Hopefully, mm-hmm. People are working out a little better, eating a little better. So in theory, that should bring down the risk of breast cancer. How does that impact whether or not they may pass along
the gene that would cause breast cancer in children, other family members, and so forth?
Sure. When we talk about family history, we don't always mean that, you know, if you just have one family member that had breast cancer, that your risk is extremely elevated. And in fact, while it's important for your doctor to know that, it's not truly as important as the type of family history that we talk about, which is gene-related, meaning you have what's called the BRCA mutation. That is accounts for somewhere between around 10% of all breast cancer diagnoses. So it's actually not as high as most women think. A lot of women think if their mother had breast cancer, then, you know, that they have the genetic form of breast cancer. And it's actually not very much the case. If you do undergo what's called BRCA testing, which is a blood test, this is what Angelina Jolie had. Her mother had the gene as well as she had the gene, and therefore that's extremely important for us to know because that puts her at a much more elevated risk of developing a breast cancer. When you don't have the gene, it doesn't elevate your risk quite as much.
Yeah, I think the Angelina Jolie factor has been the story, really, I think, in breast cancer, of judging by the reaction that I get in emails and so forth of people asking questions about that. Let's get into that when we come back after a quick break. Breast Cancer 2013 on the air, 312-981-7200, or text in your questions or comments at 24720 on 720 WGN.
Keep in mind there are so many resources out there. They don't need to go through this experience alone. And the same holds true for caregivers. We're really fortunate to live in the community we live in.
Back to Dean Richards, Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
So last May, May 14th, to be exact, Angelina Jolie wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times in which she disclosed the medical procedure that she had gone through. And it goes, I'm going to read it to you. She says, "My mother fought cancer for almost a decade and died at age 56. She held out long enough to meet the first of her grandchildren and to hold them in her arms. But my other children will never have the chance to know her and experience how loving and gracious she was. We often speak of mommy's mommy, and I find myself trying to explain the illness that took her away from us. They've asked if the same could happen to me." Angelina Jolie writing, "I've always told them not to worry, but the truth is I carry a faulty gene, BRCA1, BRCA1 as it's known, which sharply increases my risk of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. My doctors estimated that I had an 87% chance of breast cancer and a 50% chance a risk of ovarian cancer, although the risk is different in the case of each woman. Only a fraction of breast cancers resulting from an inherited gene mutation. Those with a defect in BRCA1 have a 65% chance of getting it on average. Once I knew that this was my reality, I decided to be proactive and minimize the risk as much as I could. I made a decision to have a preventative double mastectomy. I started with the breasts as my risk of breast cancer is higher than my risk of ovarian cancer, and the surgery is much more complex. On April 27th, I finished the 3 months of medical procedures that the mastectomies involved. During that time, I've been able to keep this private and to carry on with my work, but I'm writing about it now because I hope that other women can benefit from my experience. Cancer is still a word that strikes fear into people's hearts, producing a deep sense of powerlessness. Today, it's possible to find out through a blood test whether you're highly susceptible to breast and ovarian cancer and then take action." And she goes on to explain more about her procedures and what she went through and so forth. What was both of your reactions as two doctors who deal with this every day when you heard about this?
You know, I'll never forget the day that I heard about this. Because, you know, in Highland Park, I see a lot of women who actually have this mutation. It's more common among women who are Ashkenazi Jewish. And a lot of my practice in Highland Park, it's common that I have a lot of Jewish women. But the day I found out that Angelina actually has the gene, I was shocked. I think my first reaction was she has done so much for women in making this known. And, You know, when a celebrity of her status speaks out about this, it helps so many people. And for that, I was grateful, really, was my first reaction.
Yeah, same with you, Doctor.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a clearly an agonizing decision for a lot of women who are diagnosed with this BRCA gene. It can be wrenching, you know, to think about really making a proactive decision to have two parts of your body amputated in order to reduce this theoretical risk that people are telling you about. So certainly the more that the word gets out that people can do this, they can come out the other side okay, they can still have careers, they can talk about it, it did do people, you know, great service.
Yeah, and I've been hearing from, you know, doctors that I know saying that everybody is coming in wanting mastectomy now. You know, they come in and they have a small lump, and even before they determine whether it's malignant or not, take them off. I heard that Angelina Jolie did this. Let's get rid of them right now. I don't even want to think about this yet.
So that has been kind of the downside that's happened because of this. Our job as physicians is to make our patients very aware and educated as to why Angelina did that. And she's doing this because she had the gene. And that's really what I need to stress most to women that come in saying that they want their breasts removed. While there has been an increase in women without the gene, after a breast cancer diagnosis, wanting both their breasts removed, a lot of times they confuse that and they think that it's because Angelina did that, that's why they want to have it. But I try to stress why exactly Angelina did do it. She's in a separate category because she does have the gene, and you know there is a role of double mastectomy in her. But in your typical early stage breast cancer, when a woman wants to have both of her breasts removed, I try to really, it takes a long time to try and educate and explain exactly why she might be different than Angelina.
Yeah, I want to talk about the gene. I want to talk about the blood test that she talks about, that you can simply take a blood test to find out if you have breast or ovarian cancer, and what the differences are, who is a candidate and who is not. But also, more likely than not, I think, that's not the appropriate cure to what is going on. And the many, many targeted therapies now which are available it probably is more likely. And I want to talk about those coming up as well. So we continue Breast Cancer 2013 on WGN.
Keep in mind, there are so many resources out there. They don't need to go through this experience alone. And the same holds true for caregivers. We're really fortunate to live in the community we live in.
Back to Dean Richards, Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
On our special, we put links to all of our guests, all of the organizations to which we refer, up on our website, WGNradio.com. So if you're looking for more information about anything that you hear us talk about, we will have it for you on our website after the show. As a matter of fact, we put the entire show up on the web so you can hear it. We put it up as a podcast. So if you're kind of in and out of your Sunday afternoon activities, not able to sit with us, God forbid, for the full 3 hours during the program today, you can sit at your leisure and also hear it at WGNradio.com. Our guests are Dr. Mark Sisko with the North Shore University Health System, and also Dr. Catherine Pesch, who is also with North Shore University Health System, our medical experts on the program today. And we're talking about the Angelina Jolie case of her discovery of the BRCA. She had the faulty gene BRCA1, right? Is that what it's
called?
That's
correct. Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about what that is. What is that gene? How do you know if you have it outside of the blood test? Are there physical manifestations of it? Something happens where you don't feel right, you don't look right, something?
Actually, no. Really, all that you would know of is that breast cancer or ovarian cancer runs in your family. And you are at a higher risk of breast cancer more than ovarian cancer. Most commonly, a woman will come in and what I'll hear is, my mother had breast cancer, two of her sisters had breast cancer, as well as my grandmother had breast cancer, all on one side of the family. And whenever I hear something like that, that fits my interest to, this patient should be tested for the gene.
And what is the blood test? Is it something just everybody should get, this blood test?
Absolutely not. So what we encourage you to do is speak to your doctor about your family history, and then your physician can be the one who can actually decide whether or not you should be referred for testing. And if a woman with that story comes in and tells me that, what I actually end up doing is referring them to our genetics counselors, who are physicians who actually devote their entire life just to speaking to patients about their genetic risk. They spend a good time going through their entire family history, wanting to know about every kind of cancer in their family. And then they talk about whether or not they actually meet criteria for testing for the BRCA gene. And if they do meet criteria, the test is done through a simple blood test. But a lot of women are under the misconception that, you know, I want to be tested. Unfortunately, it is an extremely expensive test, which can be covered by insurance, but really if you meet very strict criteria.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. When you, the first thing you said was absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Is it strictly a cost factor?
It can be. It can be.
I would think that if there is a test that's going to tell me if I have breast or ovarian cancer,
mm-hmm.
I'd start there and put it out of my mind.
Well, it's a very, very rare occurrence that you will have the gene. So in the general population, if you are not Ashkenazi Jewish, it's about one out of every, somewhere between 400 and 500 women would actually have the gene. If you are Ashkenazi Jewish, it's about one out of 40 women will have the gene. So, and someone who's not Jewish and they want to be tested, of course they can. They can pay. It's probably around at least $30,000.
Oh, okay. So all right then.
That can make the difference.
Yeah.
But obviously if your insurance covers it, you know, then it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I would imagine insurance would not cover it if there were not factors saying that you are a candidate for this.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, back to the Angelina Jolie case, what are the factors that go into a decision of preventative double mastectomy? Because that's the go-to procedure this year, at least what people are asking about anyway.
Yeah. You know, I have this conversation with women all the time. Now, when people have a BRCA mutation, in fact, the decision can be a little easier for these women because they know that by doing a double mastectomy, they are going to reduce the risk of breast cancer significantly, not to zero, but you can be taking somebody from the 60 to 80% risk range and dropping that to the low single digits. And so with those patients, you know, generally they're making a decision about whether or not to have a double mastectomy or whether to undergo significantly more rigorous and more, you know, screening tests a lot more often. I think the greater challenge in terms of decision making is a lot of women who may be younger women, they have a breast cancer on one side, you know, and they're coming in and saying, well, you know, I don't ever want to go through this again. I do not want to be a repeat customer with breast cancer. And sitting down and trying to parse out with these women whether or not it's a good idea to do the other breast can be challenging, because for most, the vast majority of women with a breast cancer, there's no evidence that doing a mastectomy on the other side will make them live longer. So at the end of the day, that really, in terms of us making sort of medical recommendations, has to be sort of the most important thing. But obviously there are a lot of other factors in this, a lot of other considerations,
yeah, I guess,
for women.
I guess that's the difficulty of this, isn't it? Because, you know, you're hearing, you know, dopes like me on the news talking about Angelina Jolie, and people are thinking, wow, this, you know, she got this test. I can go get a test. She found out that, you know, she may have this. And you know, have the double mastectomy done,
yeah,
finished and over with. And you then, both of you, have to explain why it's not quite as simple as that.
Well, and again, for Angelina Jolie, you know, I think it's really critical to make a distinction between people with the BRCA mutation and people with breast cancer. As Dr. Pesch said, only 10% of all women with breast cancer have a BRCA mutation. So Angelina Jolie is in that 10% of patients for whom it may be an easier decision to have a double mastectomy. 9 to 1, though, is patients more like actually Juliana Rancic is the other sort of example. Over the last, I think, 2 years, she had a, from what I believe was a relatively small cancer, and elected to have a double mastectomy to treat that small cancer. And that really is going to be the question, I think, going forward, is number one, whether or not that makes, now obviously I don't know anything about Juliana Rancic's situation, but for most people, whether or not that makes medical sense. But then you have to factor in, you know, questions like, you know, maybe you're going to sleep better if you have a double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to put a price tag on that. You know, I, as a woman having cancer once, you know, you're going to be having mammograms or MRIs every 6 to 12 months, and you're going to be waiting every 6 to 12 months for the results of that test. Well, if you have a double mastectomy, you don't have to go through that process. So there are a lot of other, you know, small factors that can be really hard to parse out, sure, to suss out how important.
Well,
they
that's, you know, I've heard that so much from women during this past year since Angelina Jolie's story came out. Women who have had lumps and lumpectomies and procedures and, you know, different things over and over and over again. Not only the physical trauma of that, but the emotional trauma of having to go through that every couple of years. You know, when they get their mammograms and they find things, and then they have to go back for another procedure, uh-huh, again. They have to go back into radiation again. They have to do these things over and over, and they just get to a point of exasperation where they say, I wish you would just take these things off of me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and there's no question that, and I think plastic surgery, you know, the reconstructive surgery has gotten better and better over the years. And I think, you know, for some women that is factoring in. You know, we're way better now at reconstructing the breast than we were even 10 or 15 years ago in terms of implant technology, in terms of some of the microsurgical, less invasive ways that we have of rebuilding the breast, in terms of ways that we do the mastectomy. Angelina Jolie had a particular kind of mastectomy where the nipple and the areola are kept after surgery, whereas in a standard mastectomy, the nipple and areola are removed. Now, obviously not everybody is a candidate for that, but all of these sort of things have come together and coalesced, I think, recently, and that certainly, I think, has swayed a lot of patients in this decision-making process.
312-981-7200, or you can text comments or questions in at 24720. Barbara, hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. My story goes back about 19 years ago when I had a mammogram, and they thought they saw something, but they dismissed it. 2 years later, on a mammogram, they found something that they were much more sure about. And what the doctor said and what the technician said, in those 2 years, things had progressed to a higher level, and that if they had seen the same results previously, I would have had a lumpectomy. So there was 2 years where I was kind of in limbo. But I did have to go through radiation, and I did go through chemo, and then I put it out of my mind. 2 years ago, I went for my annual mammogram, and they found something again. Never in my life did I think I would have to face that twice, and luckily, because of the technology, they found it so early that even though I did have to have another lumpectomy, and because of my history, only because of my history, did they then again suggest chemo and radiation, which I did go through again. And I guess all I can say is that any woman who doesn't take their mammogram yearly and doesn't push a little bit for better explanations on how and why this happens are being very foolish. I also had the BRCA test, and that's because three other people in my generation, cousins, all were diagnosed with some form of breast cancer, and yet none of us tested positive for BRCA.
Any comments, docs?
Well, I think Barbara, you're actually the perfect patient for everything we've been talking about right now. You know, you speak to the fact of why after 17 years ago you were diagnosed, you had one lumpectomy and decided not to have both of your breasts removed. And what ended up happening, unfortunately, while you did develop a second breast cancer, it was caught very early. And that's a huge success from your standpoint, you know, and the fact that you were so good about getting your mammograms every year. And, you know, I'm so happy for you that we were able to take care of it.
Barbara, at any point, did you think about mastectomy, double mastectomy, as so many are now?
19 years ago, they didn't even suggest it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely more common now that we're talking about it.
And the odd thing, and I guess that's why I get, you know, I get so emotional, is that they're two totally unrelated types of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I could not be treated with tamoxifen.
Correct, yes.
It wasn't, you know, in that spectrum. And now I'm on, you know, a form of Remedex because mm-hmm. that one was estrogen positive. And they're telling me that was a better kind to have, but there's no better.
That's you know. True. No better to you, that's for sure.
There's no better.
Yeah.
Right. And again, I mean, perhaps because of my age, in speaking with the oncologist and the surgeon and the radiologist and all of my doctors as a team, they did not again suggest a double mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting to me how the treatment pendulum has swung that early on everything was mastectomy. That's the way they dealt with everything mm-hmm. early on. And then they got away from that and tried more targeted treatments, and now it's swung back a little bit. I mean, it sounds like, of course, you're moderating it. You, the doctors, are moderating it and explaining the difference, but...
Trying to.
Yeah.
It gets complicated.
It does get very complicated, especially there was another test that I was given to see, again, whether or not I needed chemo.
Correct.
Because the tumor was so small and 2 points lower,
mm-hmm.
They would not have suggested chemo. 1 point higher, and they would have.
Mm-hmm. That's something called the Oncotype test.
Yes, and that's
done in only very specific types of breast cancer. After you've had surgery, you are in a group of women who have a small breast cancer that... Your nodes are not positive, meaning there's no cancer in your lymph nodes. And usually you are estrogen receptor positive, meaning that we need to know it's not black and white whether or not we should be giving you chemotherapy or not. And in those instances, we do this test in order to see what will be your benefit of getting chemotherapy. Will it be beneficial for you? And it gives you a number. And if your number is in a certain category where it's deemed chemotherapy is beneficial, then it will be recommended.
Yeah, good luck to you, Barbara, and thank you very much for calling 312-981-7200. Talking about the chemotherapies, one of the other things that I've heard a lot about this year are new and different chemotherapies that are being used, some new targeted treatments. We'll talk about that when we come back. Breast Cancer 2013 on Today Until 3 on WGN.
I felt like I had a plan. As soon as I found that doctor I could trust, I could move forward, and I was going to do everything possible to make this come out better on the other side.
Back to Dean Richards, Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
Coming up, we'll introduce you to an organization here in Chicago that is working to help men and women dealing with breast cancer. The ABCD group, after breast cancer diagnosis. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 312-981-7200. Pete, good afternoon. You're on WGN. Are you there, Pete?
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
I'm here. So I have a question for the physicians that are there. I've long heard and thought that that once we actually crack the genetic code with, you know, very accurate predictability, and then retroviruses to manipulate the genetic code, that most cancers are going to become, 100% treatable or curable. But from what you're discussing, it sounds as if there's an endocrine or a hormonal component to the activation of breast cancer. Is that an accurate statement?
That is correct. One of the first things we determine when a woman's diagnosed with breast cancer is it what's called estrogen receptor positive or negative? So we test all the cancers for three receptors in particular. One's called the estrogen receptor, one's the progesterone receptor, and one is called the HER2. If you have the receptors, it's called positive. If you don't have the receptors, it's called negative. And that has really put breast cancer into four different categories. And that really determines how we end up treating you based on the different therapies that we have available.
The gene testing, really, it's rather amazing, isn't it? And is that where we get some, like, most of our strides, do you think, of the advances that we've made?
Well, I think the holy grail, certainly in cancer treatment, is this idea of genomics and can we treat cancers at a genetic level. And it sounds nice, and I think that at some point we will get to that point where everybody who has a tumor will get that tumor sequenced, and based on that sequence, sort of the DNA that's in that tumor, you will be able to align things with very, very specific targeted therapies. I think part of the issue, though, is that, number one, there are not a lot of therapies that are designed around specific gene sequences. And number two, we simply don't know, I think, a lot of, we know about the BRCA gene, but there's almost certainly several other genes out there, maybe hundreds of genes out there that we just don't know about at this point. And so it's a little bit of a moving target. And even within sort of those four groups of breast cancer, there's a sort of a wide spectrum probably of what these cancers look like. And so we're instead of being able to really pinpoint things to that level, we have to sort of step back and use things that are not quite as specific. Although, you know, Herceptin is a medication that's used more recently really has started to this sort of approach towards specifically targeting cancer, you know, specific kinds of cancer, subtypes of these cancers.
Get to more of your phone calls in a minute. Pete, thank you for your call and more at 312-981-7200 as we continue next on WGN.